Welcome back to Eco Talk. We're in conversation with Mark Massera, director of Sierra Club's California Coastal Programs, and he is talking about some of the folks he's worked with over the years and projects he's worked on. One of the people he had the pleasure to meet, I'm sure, Pete McCloskey, who was on this show months ago when he announced his candidacy. He's a real, you know, going way back environmentalist, and he's also a Republican. And I find him most fascinating just because of those two facts, and then he's even more interesting than that, but we won't get into his whole military history. Tell us what you think of this man, how you came to work with him.
Oh, gosh. Pete has been a great friend and a mentor for many years and encouraged me as a lawyer doing environmental work to be aggressive early and often in my career. He joined us as co-counsel in the litigation that we undertook on behalf of Surfrider Foundation against the pulp mills in Northern California. And I recall that when we were in front of the judge in federal court, the pulp mills were arguing that they should be exempt from the Clean Water Act.
Because? Just because.
Well, they had a special clause in the Clean Water Act just dedicated to their operations. And I could see Pete sort of snickering in the corner. And then when his turn came to speak, he said to the judge, "Your Honor, I wrote that law."
That's what's so cool. He was part of the original Earth Day. And I just have to say one thing. I just saw Al Gore's movie. I can't talk about that enough. There's actually a scene in the movie where they look at the ice up in Antarctica, like you look at a tree to measure the rings and determine its history. And they can see the year the Clean Water Act went into effect, that changed, and Clean Air Act, that changed the formation of the ice. You can see where the dirt started in, you know, changing. And it's you can see it with your own eyes. So if anyone thinks that the Clean Air Act, Clean Water Act, if properly enforced, don't make a difference, there's the ice right there in black and white to tell you. Just one of many reasons to see that movie. Go ahead. Pete McCloskey. So he's a champion.
He's an environmental champion. He's a hero to surfers. And he's proof that environmental protection is good for the economy. And it's just so irritating that so many people that hold themselves out as being fiscal conservatives don't support environmental protection. And that's what's driven Pete back into politics
and
to shake up the Republican Party.
He's got a tough congressional campaign ahead. But he's serious. He's not just running to, you know, say a few things.
Well, he's not just a good environmentalist being a Republican. He's a good environmentalist by any measure.
I agree. So he inspired you. You're known as someone who is really tough. You may not look so imposing, but you get across the table from someone in a courtroom and you're fighting the good fight and you've been described as a bulldog. What motivates you to be so tough and sort of terminate all the projects that you deem to be unwise environmentally?
Well, I think that in part, it's because Sierra Club and Sierra Club's members, and there are over 200,000 in California, steadfastly support my efforts and vice versa. And I specialize in David and Goliath fights with billion-dollar development projects. And we've proven over and over again that with good, strong legal support, and that's our California Coastal Act, itself a citizens' initiative, we can work with communities and grassroots organizations to put together the kind of organizing and educational activities that prevail when these projects are eventually reviewed by the agencies and the commissions and the politicians that ultimately determine whether they'll be approved or not. That requires working very closely with the communities, the impacted individuals, and towns that will be affected by these projects, and also with the politicians and appointed individuals who deliberate them.
Do you ever just want to go surfing and forget about all this? Because when you take it on in a big way, it has a way of, you know, not only affecting your work, but your life. And you are intimately involved in the outcome of these cases. And I've heard you even thrive on being David in David versus Goliath. So what really keeps you going?
Well, certainly the ability to access the beach and to go surfing.
Maybe it's that simple, huh?
and body surfing and beachcombing and bird watching and, you know, to be able to visit these wetlands and go to these places that we've saved is a never-ending source of inspiration for me. It's also a meditation. It's very much like yoga or meditating. Being in the ocean and being able to experience a healthy, clean coastal environment is more than enough resource for me to be able to charge back in there and work on protecting, you know, whether it's 13 inches or 13 miles doesn't necessarily matter to me. It's protecting what little coastal resources are left.
So do you disarm them with the facts, or do you have another style we're not seeing? Because you seem like a really mellow, low-key, intelligent guy here, but there's something about you that intimidates them from what I've read.
Well, it's past success. I try not to be too overbearing.
But your record speaks for itself. And if people want to read more about you, I just find you a fascinating personality and very inspired by your work. Where can they go?
Well, certainly Sierra Club's website is a main source of information, and that's sierraclub.org/CA for California, then /coasts. There's also plenty of information on coastwatcher.com and also the aerial photographies website that we've developed at californiacoastline.org is a fascinating source of information.
Do you like travel up and down the coast talking to surfers? I'm kind of getting a vision of Gidget Goes Green, you know, one person at a time, waking them up to what's at stake and maybe even recruiting them.
Well, that's exactly what we do. I work with several people at Sierra Club, and all we do is schedule events all month long in different parts of the coast and inland areas, organizing communities so that people in San Diego can help people in Humboldt County and people in Sonoma can help people in Santa Barbara, all for the purpose of protecting coastal resources in our California economy.
And in the last 30 seconds, do you see opinions change and maybe lives change in terms of focus? Because once you know too much, you can't really go back. That's the good news.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Most recent polling shows that people in California want politicians and decision makers to be more aggressive in protecting what coastal resources remain. They want less development and they want more coastal protection.
Mark Massera, thank you so much for joining us, and keep up the good green fight along the coastline.
Thank you very much.
And you've been listening to Eco Talk. And if you'd like to find out more about today's very interesting guests and topics, please go to our website, which can be found at www.ecotalk.net. And if you've been inspired and informed, we hope you have, by today's program, we welcome you to join our current sponsors in supporting Eco Talk. We are still dependent on support from advertisers, sponsors, and listeners to help spread the word. And we are made possible by the generous support of Earth Justice and the Natural Resources Defense Council. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, start talking up An Inconvenient Truth, Al Gore's pivotal movie. It'll change everything, or I quit.